Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Central Garden & Pet's second quarter 2015 financial results conference call. My name is Kellyanne, and I'll be your conference operator for today. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the call, please press the star followed by the zero on your touch-tone phone. As a reminder, this call is being recorded. I would also like to turn the call now over to Steven Zenger, Vice President of Investor Relations and Communications. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Kellyanne. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us. With me on the call today are John Ranelli, Central's President and Chief Executive Officer, and Lori Varlett, Central's Chief Financial Officer. Our press release providing results for our second quarter ending March 28, 2015, is available on our website at www.central.com. Also on the website is the GAAP to non-GAAP reconciliation for the non-GAAP measures discussed on this call. Before I turn the call over to John, I would like to remind you that statements made during this conference call, which are not historical facts, including expectations for new product introductions, future acquisitions, and improved revenue and profitability, are forward-looking statements subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those implied by forward-looking statements. These risks and others are described in Central Securities and Exchange Commission filings, including our annual report on Form 10-K, filed December 11, 2014, and our quarterly report on Form 10-Q, to be filed on or about May 7, 2015. Central undertakes no obligation to publicly update these forward-looking statements to reflect new information, subsequent events, or otherwise. Now, I will turn the call over to John Ranelli. John?
Thank you, Steve. Good afternoon, everyone. It is a pleasure to speak with you today. I want to thank everyone for joining us as we restart our earnings calls. Over the last 2 years, we have made significant progress in positioning our company for success in 2015 and in the years ahead. We have improved our income statement, our balance sheet, and our cash flow. When I joined the company as CEO, we shifted our entire focus to putting our customers first and restoring their trust and our credibility. I cannot overemphasize this as the key to the success we have achieved to date and expect to achieve in the future. I also cannot emphasize enough the opportunity this presents to leverage our operating and financial infrastructure for profits in the future. The second key driver of our recent and future success is the restructuring of our management team. To those who understand customer first and are experts in our businesses, as well as the energy and commitment of our employees. The third is the implementation of disciplined processes and procedures, KPIs, and other tools to help our organization succeed, including fill rate, POS, and distribution analytics. We empowered our employees, bringing them closer to the consumer to better meet our customers' needs. We also instilled in our team a sense of increased accountability. At the same time, we focused on improving our financial metrics, especially profitability. The actions we undertook have begun to show results. We ended 2014 with significantly higher fill rates, improved communication and collaboration with our customers, and restored our position as a leader in customer service. On the financial front, we increased adjusted earnings from 20 cents a share in 2013 to 33 cents a share in 2014. We also strengthened our balance sheet, delivering a $65 million reduction in inventory at year-end 2014 and improving 2014 operating cash flow by $155 million. Now, in 2015, with much of the work of building the company's foundation largely behind us, we are tackling the initiatives that lay the groundwork to drive future growth. Growth in both revenues and profits. First, growth in revenues begins with talented and dedicated people, great service, superior sell-through, and innovative products. We are actively working with our customers on a number of fronts to help them best meet the needs of consumers. We are helping them better understand the dynamics of the marketplace and are staying highly involved in their long-term planning processes. This partnering will enable us to focus our new product efforts squarely in areas we and our customers believe will be the most meaningful and impactful to consumers. Second, we are reallocating our marketing dollars to better service our customers and consumers in a way that is most meaningful to them. For instance, we are eliminating certain advertising spend that did not give us an appropriate return. Instead, we are focusing these resources on point of purchase and other in-store programs and promotions. This will give the customer higher sell-through and the consumer the most value, driving increased sales velocity of our products. Third, internally, we have expanded and moved our product development efforts to the experts within our businesses who know their markets and products the best. This will accelerate our efforts to build our product pipeline. Fourth, we are seeking out new markets for our products. The international market is one area that we have not put a lot of focus on in the past. We are beginning to make progress in improving the performance of our international operations. We are looking at ways to leverage this improved infrastructure now in place to sell more product outside the U.S. Fifth, we will continue to seek ways to leverage our strongest brands and extend our product lines to reach new customers and new markets. We will do all of this with the goal of better balancing profit versus margin. This includes more aggressively bidding for both branded and private label business. We have already begun to see the results of this strategy. In order to achieve this growth, strengthen and expand our market position, and deliver increased value to our customers, we are identifying and investing in initiatives that lower our production and distribution costs, both in the near term and on a longer term perspective. Finally, in addition to growing organically, we also believe that acquisitions are important to our growth. We have done some small tuck-in acquisitions over the last couple of years in parallel with focusing on writing the business. Going forward, we are increasing our efforts and focusing on acquiring companies that are strategically close in to our current businesses, play to our core competencies, and can be purchased at reasonable multiples. With regard to capital allocation, as we grow our businesses and improve our profitability, we will adhere to our disciplined capital allocation framework. Our priorities are to first, invest in our existing businesses. Second, pursue acquisitions at the right price. And third, make debt and stock repurchases. As Laurie will outline later, We recently retired $50 million in bonds, which will yield roughly $3 million in interest savings next year. Our 2015 year-to-date earnings are 35 cents per share, well above the 17 cents per share last year. Our higher profits are a result of the company driving down costs over the past 2 years. We now expect 2015 earnings to be in excess of 55 cents per share compared to adjusted earnings of 33 cents per share last year. Of course, there is the inherent unpredictability of the garden season, which is still underway. While April has met our expectations, it remains to be seen how the full season will play out. In summary, it has been and will continue to be a journey. We believe we are on the right path to improve profitability and increase shareholder value. We are pleased with our success to date. There is a lot of work to do as we broaden our emphasis on growth in the years ahead. Now, I would like to ask Laurie to review our financial results.
Thank you, John. Good afternoon, everyone. We issued a press release earlier today outlining our second quarter financial results. I'd like to spend some time giving you some color on what drove those results. I'll begin with a brief consolidated overview and then move on to the details for our segment results. Consolidated sales for the quarter were relatively flat, down 1% versus a year ago, although year-to-date our sales were up 2% compared to the prior year. The second quarter revenue decline was in our garden segment, which more than offset a gain in our pet sales. I'll cover the specifics of each business in just a minute. Our consolidated gross margin was 30.2%, an improvement of 80 basis points from the second quarter of 2014. We had relatively equal gross margin gains in both our garden and pet segments. SG&A expense as a percentage of sales improved to 20.1% from 20.5% last year, principally due to lower garden marketing expenses and a productivity and efficiency gains. Our second quarter consolidated operating income was $50 million, an increase of $5.2 million compared to last year. Our operating margin was 10%, a 110 basis point increase from last year, which reflects our higher gross margin and lower SG&A expenditures as a percentage of sales. Let's move on to the details for both segments' results, starting with garden. In the second quarter, garden segment revenues decreased 3%. Within garden, grass seed revenues saw the largest decrease, partly due to timing differences versus a year ago, when strong initial sell-in occurred earlier in the garden season. Although the garden season is still underway, so far in the third quarter, we have seen favorable comparisons for grass seed sales versus a year ago. Decor and wild bird seed sales were also down in the second quarter. The decor business was impacted by lower volumes as a result of reduced store listings and higher retail inventory levels. Offsetting much of the weakness was very strong fertilizer and control product revenues. In fertilizer, new private label business was a big factor. And in controls, expanded distribution of private label products aided our results. We've become more aggressive in bidding for private label business with an intense focus on bringing down production costs. We would expect to continue to seek out increased private label business opportunities in the future. The garden segment increased its operating income for the quarter by $2.5 million versus the prior year. Garden's operating margin increased 130 basis points to 14.2%. An increase in gross and operating margin for our decor, fertilizer, and controls businesses drove the garden operating margin increase. Our fertilizer business benefited from a more favorable customer mix. Controls and decor were both aided by the non-recurrence of certain expenses from a year ago, such as returns and promotions. Garden SG&A expenses declined, benefiting from both lower marketing costs and increased productivity and efficiencies. With much of the garden season yet to go, especially in the controls business, we'll have to wait until the season's concluded to evaluate how we fared this year versus our expectations for the full garden season. Let's move on to the pet segment. Pet sales increased 2% on higher sales of other manufacturers' products, as well as higher professional revenues. Increased distribution and higher sales of dog food, treats, and supplies were the main reason for other manufacturers' product sales gains. The increase in professional sales reflects higher sales of non-consumer active ingredient control products, which includes sales from a small business we acquired in April of 2014. Partially offsetting these gains were lower revenues in our wild bird feed and dog and cat businesses. As we stated in our Q1 earnings release, wild bird feed sales and margins were expected to be negatively impacted by lower product pricing related to lower raw material costs and competitive pressures. The decrease in dog and cat revenues, partially due to losses in shelf space for our dog food products. Operating income in the pet segment increased $2.9 million, and the operating margin increased 100 basis points to 12.2%. The higher gross margin and lower SG&A expenses as a percentage of sales drove the increase in operating margin. Our flea and tick and dog and cat businesses had the most positive impact on operating margin. Last year, the flea and tick business incurred product launch costs that did not reoccur this year. Dog and cat margins benefited from lower costs in its hard good business due to better sourcing and from lower manufacturing costs. The wild bird and professional businesses had lower margins than a year ago, partially offsetting our gains in flea and tick and dog and cat. Let's move back to our consolidated results. In the second quarter, net interest expense increased $1.5 million from the prior year to $11.9 million, primarily due to charges related to the redemption of a portion of our outstanding senior subordinated notes in the quarter. I'll talk about that in a minute. Our second quarter tax rate was 36.9% compared to 37.7% in the second quarter of 2014. Our second quarter net income was $23.2 million or 47 cents per fully diluted share, compared to net income of $20.9 million or 43 cents a share in the second quarter of 2014. Turning to our cash flow and our balance sheet, inventories of $382 million were $30 million lower than a year ago, excluding the impact of our Invincio acquisition, which added an additional $10 million to our inventory balance. We continue to make progress on bringing down inventory balances in line with our targets. CapEx for the quarter was $7 million versus $4.6 million last year, in line with our historical annual run rate of $25 to $30 million. Depreciation and amortization for the quarter was $8.4 million, down from $9.2 million last year. On March 1st of this year, we redeemed $50 million of our 8.25% senior subordinated notes. As I mentioned, our second quarter interest expense includes $1.6 million of costs related to the redemption of the notes. The redemption cost consists of approximately $1 million related to the payment of the call premium and a non-cash charge of approximately $600,000 related to the write-off of a portion of the unamortized financing costs due to the redemption. The net interest savings for the second half of fiscal 2015 will offset the second quarter charge, making the redemption P&L neutral for 2015. As John described, we expect the redemption to benefit future years. Net debt was $503 million versus $514 million last year, an improvement of $11 million. This improvement reflects our higher earnings and improved balance sheet, partially offset by cash used for bond redemptions, stock repurchases, and tuck-in acquisitions. Our leverage ratio at quarter end, typically our peak, was 4.5 times, down from 5.6 times at the end of the second quarter last year. At the end of the second quarter, we had borrowings of $115 million on our ABL credit facility versus $95 million last year. At the end of the second quarter, we had $165 million available for borrowings on our ABL. As of today, we have over $300 million available. Keep in mind that seasonally, our borrowings needs peak during our second quarter as we build inventory for the spring garden season. Our borrowings then decrease significantly as we approach fiscal year-end and we collect on our trade receivable balances generated during the garden season, and we pay down our credit facility. From a cash flow perspective, our cash flow used by operations in the second quarter was $114 million, compared to $91 million in the second quarter of 2014. Because we began the year with lower inventory than the year before, the garden seasonal build was larger this year. During the quarter, the company repurchased $10 million, or approximately 1.1 million shares of its common stock, through the board-approved share repurchase program. Approximately $35 million remains available under the program. With regard to our outlook, for the full year, as John noted, we expect our 2015 EPS may exceed 55 cents versus the adjusted EPS of 33 cents we reported last year. We continue to expect third quarter to be relatively flat to down, and we anticipate fourth quarter to be favorable versus the prior year. Actual results will be impacted by how the back half of the garden season unfolds. Consumer takeaway will be an important factor as to how both our segments perform for the remainder of the year. In summary, we're pleased to see our actions translate into improvements in our bottom line results. We continue to focus on our balance sheet, ensuring we have the appropriate capital structure to support growth, and taking the necessary steps to drive increased profitability and shareholder value over the long term. We thank you for joining us this afternoon. We'd be happy to take your questions. Kellyanne, would you please open the line?
Certainly. At this time, if you do have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. We do ask that you please initially limit yourself to one question with one follow-up. You will then be placed back into the queue for any additional questions. Again, that will be star 1 for questions. We'll pause for just a moment. We'll hear first from Bill Chappell with SunTrust.
Hello, Bill.
Nice to hear your voice. I like this conference call and guidance stuff.
Great. Thank you.
I guess quickly just on the quarter, actually on the guidance that you did give, to help me understand why the next quarter would be kind of down on an EPS basis. Just seems like the garden season, from what we heard from Scott earlier today, is off to a strong kind of April. And so maybe just help me understand on the comparisons or what's going to cause that to be down year over year.
Sure. So I think we're calling it relatively flat to down. We have a lot of the garden season, you know, ahead of us. April was, strong as I described, but the control season, there's a large portion of that in front of us. And so given the, you know, unpredictability of the garden season, we're just going to call it, you know, flat, relatively flat to down. We'll see how that plays out. And there's also some time of expenses that may impact quarter to quarter. But all in all, certainly expecting the full year to be up to last year.
Okay. And John, can you just give us a little more color on kind of the strategy change and just, you know, go back 6-9 months ago, or I guess when we last heard from you, it was more of a focus of we're going to streamline the business, we're going to step up marketing and advertising, we're going to be more of a branded marketing company. And this seems to be, you know, and with the existing businesses you have, now it seems kind of the focus on going after private label, which certainly there's a void out there and an opportunity out there, but that I imagine could be, you know, margin dilutive per se, but profitable. Now what kind of spurred that on, and then, you know, even the step up of now real refocusing on M&A and being more aggressive there and kind of changing the face of the business? I mean, help us walk through how the strategy is unfolding.
Essentially, before I joined, I felt that we were more of an operating-driven company. And what my goal was to change us to more of a balanced approach. In other words, going after increasing our sales, increasing our margin, while at the same time reducing our expenses. In going to the marketplace, I believe that doing both private label and branded business is really critical, because you become much more impactful on your supplier. You get much more advantage out of your reduced cost due to increased units going through. So I don't know that there's really been a change in strategy. We are going after improving our marketing program, going to become number one in sell-through, going to become number one in product, and going to become number one in service. Those are the three goals that we have to increase our revenue. And the key to increasing our revenue is the advantage that we get over having essentially an infrastructure that is relatively fixed that we can leverage. So with our infrastructure and our costs being improved, by going after the revenue side, we think we can take significant leverage and bring more profit to the bottom line. I'm really optimistic given the numbers that I've seen about the fixed nature of our costs versus the variable nature of us bringing in incremental revenue and the opportunity that there is out there to bring in that incremental revenue.
And just to follow up on the private label, I mean, is the thought of just kind of replicating what you're already doing for one large customer in garden and those categories, or are there other categories that are ripe to expand to?
No, if there is an opportunity in private label, we will take advantage of it in just about any of our businesses. Again, we look at private label now as an adjunct to our branded business.
Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll move next to Karru Martinson with Deutsche Bank.
Good afternoon. Okay, when you look at the outperformance this quarter, I mean, and versus the guidance that you kind of talked about in the first quarter, I mean, is it that the wild bird seed sales and margin kind of came in like you thought, but the rest of the portfolio was just that much stronger? Or, you know, are we seeing the bird seed a little bit better here in the second and into the third quarter than expected?
Great. Thank you for the question. So when we gave guidance in early, you know, February, beginning of the garden season, based on, you know, what we expected then, we called out specifically wild bird feed as an area where we thought we'd see some weakness in sales and margins. As the quarter played out, the second quarter played out, we actually saw some weakness in grass seed, but it was compensated for in strong fertilizer and control sales. That certainly helped us. But the season's, you know, not over. If you look at, you know, Q2, kind of an arbitrary stop from the season that spans both Q2 and Q3. And while grass seeds were weaker in the second quarter, we've seen some pickup in the month of April, you know, that came through from a timing perspective. So, you know, going back to our guidance, you know, based on what we knew at the beginning of the season, I think some of the areas of our business outperformed what we were expecting. Everything set up just as we had planned.
Okay. And then given, you know, the partial call on the notes, just thinking about, you know, the market is open right now. Your results are certainly trending in the right direction. You know, why do the partial call? Why not, you know, look at a longer-term capital structure solution?
Yeah. So, you know, we looked at the amount of our senior subordinated debt outstanding. We had $450 million out there, and we called 50 of that. That's certainly going to help our bottom line going forward. But as we look at, you know, what is our next step, we're constantly reviewing that. It's a balance between there's a premium due paid, if we call them. You know, we're trying to throw our interest rates, as well as to make sure that we've got enough dry powder for organic and acquisitional growth. So it's something we continue to look at. We took our first step, pulling the $50 million down, and we'll do what we think is appropriate going forward.
Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate the time and appreciate the call.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
And from Wells Fargo, we'll move to Grant Jordan.
Thanks. That was helpful on the refi comments. I guess just a question now, as you look at your balance sheet, you know, talk about your approach to share buybacks versus, you know, pursuing M&A and where you are in that.
Yeah, sure. So I think John outlined our hierarchy of how we look at that. You know, first we want to take our cash and invest that in organic growth, followed by acquisitions, and then share repurchases and, bond buybacks. We are investing processes, procedures across the business to grow organically. We've done a small tuck-in, and we think we've got the right structure, you know, for growth. And as John described, we're moving, you know, our focus towards driving growth within the business. So it's really that priority that John outlined of how we use our cash.
Okay. Just following up on the private label, Are there specific product areas where you guys have a lot more capacity, or you see more sourcing capacity where you could really utilize that to go after private label?
Yes, we have capacity in just about all of our businesses. We can see our bringing down our costs in that area by adding the incremental units. And I think this is really a change from the past where they were focused more on the branded side of the business. And as I've met with some of our customers, I've seen some of the opportunities that are out there. We just need to, and it's really just a mind change. We need to see the value in the private label business and then go after it. And I think we have. And, it has given us results. We've gotten the Stay Green business as an example of that in Garden. And it's just basically making sure that that we want that business. We have the people, we have the talent, we have the facilities to go after that business and win.
So when you say as a mindset, was it an issue that you had your cost hurdles too high, or was it that the company just was not interested in private label because of...
No, I think we were focusing our resources and our brands rather than taking a balanced approach of both branded and private label businesses. I think it was also a view of how our costs were allocated internally. So there were many reasons that when you dive into it, we found what I call a gem in our company that we can increase our profits with.
On the cost allocation, have there been changes in systems that allow you to do that differently, or is it more just a change in philosophy?
It's more of a change in philosophy. When you mean a change in systems, we didn't have to change the computer systems. Maybe we had to change how we allocated our costs, but I wouldn't call that a computer system change.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll move on to Kevin Zeitz with Citi.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. You mentioned at the outset you were working with your customers on sort of products and product development. I was wondering if you could elaborate on that a little bit. Is that analogous to the private label initiative, or is it separate from that?
No. When we started about 2 years ago, I felt a couple of things. First is that we didn't really have a good eye on what was happening in the marketplace. And we have now come up with a process which I think is relatively unique in the industry called Market Smart, where we take all of the data that we can possibly find from Nielsen and other sources and determine exactly what is selling, why it is selling, what are consumers thinking about, what features are selling, et cetera. And we take that information, feed it through our now, if I could call it, changed product development process. What we did is and you heard me talk about changing our management and bringing back business experts who understood customer first, what we did is we took the product development process and put it under those business experts, and we have been building our product under them now for, I would say, maybe a year, and it still takes a while to get to the marketplace. But I think overall what we've done is we have put our product development process with the business experts. We are also, through our Market Smart, figuring out what is selling, what we need to be doing from a product development, product design process, and it's really starting to work. We've had some great success with products this year. Our Nylabone division has done a wonderful job. Aquatics has got some new products, as well as our Garden division. We're still maybe only a third or a half of where we want to be, but we're closing fast.
Okay, great. And then just on the private label front, are there examples where you're you're picking up, you know, shelf space on the branded side because of this? I'm also curious who you might be displacing.
Yes. Again, I'd rather not get into the specifics of the marketplace, but the credibility that we're getting from our customer service levels being at industry leading levels, the new products and the new pricing that we're putting in is allowing us to increase our market share.
Okay, great. And I guess last on acquisitions, I'm just curious if you have a sense for, you know, where strategic multiples are, how close to a strategic transaction might you be, and do you think that you would, I guess, consider a refi in conjunction with such a transaction, or is the refi sort of separate from that?
Well, I think there was a couple of questions there. Let's,
yeah,
first, maybe I should start with, you know, I wouldn't want to comment on any specific transaction, as, you know, because they're never over until they're over, et cetera, nor would I want to give any competitive advantage out. Number two, from our perspective, you know, the prices are always too high. But, you know, now with our a lot of our operating issues fixed, we can realize some synergies from them. So I think that they're looking a lot more attractive to us today. On top of the fact that of the changes and the increase in earnings and the better procedures and the better management in place, I see us much more aggressive in that marketplace. And finally, obviously, as we look at the market and look at the prices and the volume and the capital required to do our acquisitions, you know, we're constantly looking at whether our capital structure is adequate and what we should be doing with our capital structure. That, to me, the acquisitions are really the biggest driver of, or the biggest determinant of what our capital structure should look like.
Sure. I know I said that was my last question. Just one more, because I noticed that the distribution business of third-party products was quite strong in the quarter. I'm just wondering if you could provide some color on that, if that was a concerted initiative, and or if you think that's just reflective of market growth.
Sure. So on the our other manufacturing products that we distribute, we did see some growth there this year, particularly on pet. And the pet distribution business has a lot of products in food area, which is one of the faster growing categories within pet. As we look at our portfolio mix of products is quite different than third party manufacturers. And so the products we carry there happen to be in a faster growing category and gets primarily mix related.
And I would just like to add that I think our pet distribution and garden distribution teams are doing great, great jobs, and I'm very pleased with the results that they're getting in the marketplace.
Thanks very much. Good luck, guys.
Thank you.
Again, for questions, that is star one. We'll move next to Greg Hillman with First Wilshire Securities Management.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi. Hey, on a couple of points. Number one, you know, in terms of drought, I was just wondering how that has affected, you know, the company in the past, and also with the severe drought in California. Maybe you could talk about California and Texas, and on the cost side, but also, you know, on the product side, you know, how it might affect you.
First, I think from a product perspective, we have a lot of product and coated product, et cetera, and product under development that we will be looking at as we, you know, face the issue of drought. And I believe that the product that we have in place in California is being well accepted as a as to help solve the issue.
Okay. And then, Chuck, on the, you know, for the active ingredients for, like, for Frontline Plus and stuff like that, could you just talk about, you know, that segment in general? I know you had a new applicator. Number one, whether your new applicator was, you know, gaining traction. And also, just wasn't Frontline Plus losing market share to just mass retailers with markets with, you know, cheaper alternatives? Could you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, that's a very interesting one. We did lose a distribution point, but we've gained another distribution point in that area because of the competitive nature of that marketplace. And at the end of the day, it's going to be who has the best sell-through and what the program is that will make a difference. The specific applicator that you talked about is in the marketplace right now, and I think is making a difference in the sales of that new distribution point, and could well make that trade and distribution an advantage for us.
That's encouraging. And then finally, John, just could you just talk about your mix in between pet and garden? I think in the last fiscal year, I think garden was roughly a third of operating profits and pet was, you know, two-thirds, let's say. And how do you see that mix changing over time?
Yeah, so I think this is Lori. You know, we have opportunities in both of our segments. You know, if you look at the profitability in pet is slightly more, obviously, than garden, just based on they've got, you know, active ingredients and it's just a mix of products. But I think that we've got opportunities in both for growth going forward. And that John, as he talked about, is really encouraging the entire company to figure out, you know, ways to be kind of a low-cost producer of quality products, and that would help improve margins on both segments.
Right. And speaking to the whole question of private label in the stores, let's say like Home Depot, is private label, you said, for, you know, garden and control, is that increasing in share in the big box retailers, and can you help make that happen, you know, for the private label to increase market share by doing a better job?
Yeah, I mean, our plan is to increase the total market, you know, through both the private label and the branded. By coordinating the private label and the branded and bringing the right features at the right price for both of them, we think we can expand the business of our customer and expand the opportunity of that market.
Right. It sounds good. I imagine the big retailers would want to have less dependence on Miracle-Gro. Is that a correct statement, do you think?
I think you should ask other people about Miracle-Gro.
Okay. Thanks very much.
And from J.P. Morgan, we'll move to Carla Casella.
Hi, this is May dialing for Carla. We're wondering what your thoughts are on any bond refi.
Could you hear?
The question was,
hello?
Can you hear us? Yeah,
hello?
The question.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Yes, good. Try it again.
Hi, this is May, actually, dialing for Carla. We just wanted to know what your thoughts are around a bond refi, any possibilities, and what that might look like.
Yeah, so as our bonds, our senior subordinated notes, are due in March of 2018, and we consistently look at if doing a refi would be the right thing to do. It's a balance between a premium that has to be paid between now and next March. There's a premium that would be required, interest rates, and you know, where we want to go with our cash investments. So is it possible? You know, sure, we'll continue looking at that, and we'll keep you posted if we decide to make a decision.
Okay, thank you.
And Brian Nagel with Oppenheimer has our next question.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for
afternoon.
Coming. It's very helpful. A couple questions, maybe a little bigger picture in nature, but first off, the discussion on private label in your prepared remarks and some of the Q&A, how should we think about if the extent you begin to grow private label faster or it becomes a larger portion of your overall sales, how should we think about the implications for your P&L? You know, you alluded that there's a lever now in the operating cost that would lever, so we get the benefit there. But what type of pressure could we see on the gross margin side?
Well, I think if we look at our gross margin, if I understand your question correctly, a lot of times we're impacted not only by what we do internally for an individual product line, but how our mix plays out, and depending on which products have, you know, grow faster or make up a given quarter, it puts pressure on the margins based on mix. As far as the individual segments or business units, I think there's different operating leverage for different businesses. Some have more opportunities than others.
And please realize there's less marketing expense, there's less distribution expense, there's less shipping expense with private label.
Okay. The next question I have, I'll go back to a line in your press release where you talked about the operational foundation, and you said nearly complete. Is there some way to is there something else that needs to be done to complete the operational foundation and maybe give us an idea of what that is and what type of expenditure is going to require over the next year or so?
Sure. You know, as we talked about, one of the keys to the operational foundation is our fill rates. And I think while we were, have significantly improved our fill rates, we still have a place to go. We also have developed KPIs with regard to our efficiencies in our plants. We also have KPIs with our efficiencies in our distribution business that are establishing targets that will allow us to go to the marketplace more effectively because we have lower costs. So it's not, it's sort of a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. You're always fighting that battle, and you're always fighting that battle against your competitors.
Well, thank you very much.
Again, for questions, that is star one. We'll go now to Hale Holden with Barclays.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I just had two quick ones. Lori, you mentioned that any kind of capital decisions might be made in order to provide flexibility for M&A or in connection with M&A. So I was just wondering if you could refresh us on kind of where you thought steady state leverage should be on a go-forward basis, you know, as you put all your thinking together, or if you average it out where you want to operate the company.
Yeah, so from a leverage ratio, and we improved it considerably this year versus a year ago at the end of Q2, we typically want to be in that 3-4 range. As we think about how the seasonality of the quarter plays out, obviously when we borrow against our ABL in the spring quarter to fund inventory purchases for the garden season, that impacts that leverage ratio. So kind of looking at year-end, that's paid down. We're in a much more normalized range.
And then versus that normalized range, how much would you consider stretching for the right acquisition?
Without acquisition, probably in that 3-4 range. We would go above that potentially, provided we could bring it right back down again in a reasonable period of time, a year or two. We want to bring it back down to a more normalized range based on cash flow and the operating leverage of the company we acquire.
Great. And then second, any chance you can give us I apologize if I missed it, but the breakout of private label that you currently are at and where maybe you think it could grow to?
Yeah, no, we haven't broken that out specifically for competitive reasons.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
And we'll hear now from Gary Poltash.
Thanks for taking my call. So when you came on board 28 months ago, the share price was higher than it is today. And I brought up the point that, we have shares that with unequal share structure tend to underperform the market. And we know that William Brown basically controls the company. what are you doing to implement change in corporate governance so that shareholders have appropriate safe management?
As you know, my job as CEO is to run the business, increase our earnings, which I believe we have done, as we've taken our earnings from 20 to 33 cents last year and 55, suggested for this year, and also increased our cash flow by about $155 million. My job is to do those things for the total base. In 1993, the B shares were approved. They were shareholder structure was voted on in 2007. And I believe that everyone has bought their shares under this structure. So, my focus is on running, and the focus of this call, is on running the business and increasing our earnings and improving our cash flow.
Well, let's take it another way. Scott's Miracle Group stock is up 50-60% in the prior 28 months. NASDAQ's up 60% in your stocks, at a negative. So how do you address that? How is that acceptable? And how are you being paid a bonus based on that performance? Because at the end of the day, all shareholders care about is the stock price.
Sure, and I'm not sure of the dates of the share prices that you're talking about. But if I could just mention that, again, my focus is on running the company and increasing our earnings, and the stock price, from my perspective, based on the higher earnings, will also go higher. So my role and my focus is solely running the business and increasing our earnings and increasing our cash flow. And, the stock market will value things however they will value them. At the end of the day, if I have higher earnings, I would expect my stock price to be higher. And I'm in the process of increasing our earnings. You've seen a significant increase in earnings to date. I've outlined a plan that will give us even higher earnings in the future, given you a forecast of higher earnings for or guidance for 2015, and we'll see how the stock price responds.
Well, last year you made comments about new products coming to the market, which never happened, and now you're kind of like, in my opinion, going in reverse with respect to private label, which is a very low-margin business. And, going back to the big boxes who are going to squeeze you, where's the innovation there?
I did say, and I continue to say, as I just did, that new products are going to be a key to our future. I also continue to say, as I did say, that it takes a couple of years to get them through to marketplace. I also said that I had to go through and make some organizational changes and then start a new product philosophy. And put the product development under a different organization chart. And those things are all working. We have had some new product. Our Flavor Frenzy of Nylabone, our Wild of Nylabone, our Aquatics with Beta Falls. There are some new products, and Garden has got some new products and potting soil. So there are a lot of new products that are hitting the marketplace. Is it as high as a level as I would like? No. But they will be as we continue our process.
Okay. Thanks, Gary. Appreciate your comment.
And we'll have a follow-up from Kevin Zeitz.
Just a quick question on the private label front. Is your focus mostly on the garden side, or is private label an opportunity in pet as well?
Well, I don't want to get too focused on private label. We want to increase our branded product as well as our product lines, as well as our geography. As I mentioned, our key really is the opportunity for our future is that we have a significant operating and financial leverage in our company. And one of the reasons that the opportunity exists today is that we've been focused on operations. What I'm trying to do is to balance that approach and go after new product, change our marketing, reallocate our marketing expenses, et cetera, and so that we can go after the marketplace in a much more aggressive manner than we have in the past. We'll go after new regions. Our international business was unprofitable before. Our management team has done a great job, and we have a very leverageable UK operation now that is profitable, which we didn't have 2 or 3 years ago. And we're going to take advantage of that to grow the international markets. So what you can see is what I'm trying to do is to grow the company so that the earnings that come from the incremental sales will fall down to the bottom and we will get a higher percentage of earnings than we will in sales.
And just to be really clear, I mean, product label is important, but we believe in our brands as well. We're going to be working very hard to grow our brands. We've got some great brands out there that have a great following. And so, and plus you have the wrong idea. Brands are really important.
The brands create the opportunity for the private label, and the private label creates the opportunity for brands. So,
I appreciate that, Carl. I didn't mean to be overly focused on it. I just was curious if the opportunity exists in pet as well as in garden.
Oh, and looking, to me as a company, I'm very happy that we're in the pet and the garden businesses. I think compared to a lot of other businesses, I think those are two of the much better ones that I would like to be in.
Okay, great. And then I guess lastly, the third quarter, I think, of last year, there was very little operating profit out of the garden business. And it was down pretty significantly year over year, I think, because of maybe some product write-downs and such. So I guess I am a little curious why that wouldn't create a quite an easy comparison, and that you wouldn't have, at worst maybe be flat to up versus flat to down. If maybe you could just help me understand some of the other puts and takes.
Sure. In the third quarter of last year, and we're talking about adjusted third quarter aside from runoff that we took. We had an interesting season. Last year, the retailers in the second quarter had an early sell, and they built their inventory really early, and then spring didn't show up as planned. And some of it this year was pretty late as well. It wasn't until late March that we really started to see, things pick up. And weather always plays a factor. You never know if it's going to get too hot really fast. Spring lasts a short amount of time, and suddenly it's summer in parts of the country. And so, again, I think we're well-positioned with our brands and our products. Once the other garden season plays out, it's pretty unpredictable sometimes.
Okay. So you think the buying dynamic could be similar this year, where there was, sort of seasonal buying in the second quarter and then obviously the uncertainty of the third quarter?
Yeah, again, for instance, in grass seed this year, as I described, we had some softness in our grass seed sales in the second quarter, but April came on pretty strong. Will we make up all the ground? I don't think that's necessarily the case, but we're working hard, and we'll see how the season plays out.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
And at this time, we'll turn things back to John Rinelli for closing comments.
Well, thank you very much for being on our conference call today. We look forward to talking to you again next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Again, that does conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining us.